Glad to see everybody out today. Glad to see our visitor. We appreciate the presence of each and every one. When we don't have assigned topics, I usually go to character studies because I probably would rather talk on a character study than anything else. And I really feel that when we go through the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, look at some of the lives of these individuals, look at some of the things that they did. This is probably, knowledge of history is the best way to keep from repeating it. And I think that there's a lot of information here that we can learn from these character studies. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to speak tonight about Aaron. And we're going to talk about a man that was a good, devout, true man. A man that was very smart. A man that was very influential. One of the most historical parts of the old Jewish faith. But a man that made some terrific, terrible, tragic mistakes. I like the way that the Bible describes the works of man. When an individual is good, the Bible tells you what he did good. It usually tells you the rewards, the consequences of it. But when a man is bad or does something that is wrong, it tells you exactly what he did, and it tells you the consequences of the action. The Bible doesn't sugarcoat. The Bible doesn't minimize. And regardless of who it is in the Bible, it explains the individual. It explains their character. It explains the things that they did. And I think it's good admonition, and it's a good way for us to learn. Aaron was a typical man. He was a human being, and he had some very good things about him. He had some good parts, but he also had some strengths, and he also had some weaknesses. I think it was Terry that talked about that everybody has two wolves inside, and the one that wins, one's good and one's bad, and the one that, whichever one wins is the ones that we feed. And that's really about what we see when we are dealing with Aaron. He was a very typical human being. He did a lot of good things, but he did some bad things as well. I think we can learn something from this study, and we're going to talk for just a little while this afternoon about the brother of Moses, Aaron. Let's go to the Heavenly Father to word here. Aaron was born as a slave in bondage in Egypt. He was the eldest son of a man by the name of Amram. His mother was Jochebed. They were of the tribe of Levi. That is the Israelite tribe that they were a member of. He was born in Egypt while the nation was enslaved, and he lived some 83 years in Egypt as a slave. He had a sister by the name of Miriam, and he had a brother that was 3 years younger than he was, and his name was Moses. Aaron was brought up as a slave in the household of his kinsman, whereas Moses, of course, was put into the river and was rescued by the king's daughter. Moses was raised in the king's household, but Aaron was raised with his family. Aaron had a wife by the name of Elisheba, and together they had four sons. They had Nadab and Abihu, and we will read about Nadab and Abihu later on. These were the priests that offered up the strange fire to God. And God came down and slew both of these men because of their unfaithfulness. There was Eleazar, who was the son that was able to accept the inheritance from his father. And the other son was Ithamar. Now, as I began to study this and began to read some about Aaron to see who he was, it was interesting to me to note that John the Baptist was of the descendants. He was one also of the tribe of Levi. And Aaron was where he descended from. He was a very strong character. He was a very devout man. He was a very good man. He was a very religious man. He was a man that had a lot of good, strong attributes that God recognized, which is the reason God put him in the position that he put him. But he was also a man that struggled, and he struggled daily with maintaining character, because when he got right down to it, Aaron was really a weak person when it came to character. And he was often led into things that he should not do. And I don't know that it was so much he doing the wrong himself, but he was so easily influenced by those that were around him that he was able to do, that he did some things and committed some very tragic errors and sins that he should not have done. He was too easily led. He was too easily manipulated. And it seems when he was away from the influence of Moses, who probably was the stronger brother when it came to character, when he was away from the influence of Moses, Aaron committed some very tragic mistakes. and his character and his reputation is marred by a few of these mistakes. He was a very good man, but yet when we think of Aaron, the first thing we think of is that golden calf, that tragic, terrible mistake that he made. But Aaron was a man that loved God, and it's obvious that God loved him. And it's obvious that he was also a man that repented of the things he did wrong, realized his weaknesses, and he tried and he worked daily to overcome these weaknesses. So the Bible tells us that God honored him after his death. It's in Psalms 106 when he is referred to as a saint of the Lord. We also know that God allowed him to live a very long life. He had a good life. And God honored Aaron for the life that he lived. His first 83 years of life was spent in Egypt as an Israelite, as a Jewish slave. It is when God first approached Moses and told Moses that he wanted him to go before the Pharaoh, and he wanted Moses to demand that Pharaoh release the Israelites so that they could go to the promised land, is where we are first introduced to Aaron. Because Moses told God no. He did not feel comfortable doing this. He said he was slow of tongue. He had no ability to speak. And when God told him to go before Pharaoh, Moses said, "I am not capable of this." Or Moses balked at this command because he didn't feel that he was capable of doing it. And God, understanding this, said in that case, "Then I'm going to partner you with your brother Aaron. Aaron then will go with you. Aaron will be your mouthpiece. Aaron will be your spokesman," because Aaron was a great orator. He could speak. He could talk. He could negotiate. So he said, "I will give you Aaron to be the strength. He will be the mouthpiece. And y'all will go to the Pharaoh together and have him release my people." Speculation here. Some say that Moses was the one. He was the head, and that Aaron was subservient to him. Others say that they were equal, and I tend to be in this camp. I feel that probably they were equal in their authority, they were equal in their responsibility. But the responsibility that Moses had was something that was entirely different than the responsibilities that Aaron had. And where Moses had the leadership responsibilities, and Aaron had his own responsibilities. I feel that they were really pretty kind of partners in this situation. But God chose Aaron to go with Moses to be the spokesperson for Moses, and they both went before Pharaoh to demand the release of the Israelites. It tells me right here that Aaron was not a coward. This was a man that had some courage. This was a man that had some strength. Because when they went into the court of Pharaoh, they were only one heartbeat away from an execution, if the Pharaoh so decided that they should be executed. For 40 years, Aaron and Moses worked side by side to direct the children of Israel through the wilderness, to protect the children of Israel, and he served as the high priest of God during this 40 years. In the role as a high priest of God, it was his responsibility and his job to organize a system of priests that would endure for the time of from the Jewish reign. And this was something in the excess of 1,500 years. This system of a priesthood that Aaron established and set up and was the father of all. The organized religious system that he made. He died when he was 123 years old. And he died about the same time as brother Moses, because neither Aaron nor Moses was allowed to go into the promised land even after they had led the children of Israel for some 40 years. His death occurred at Mount Hor, according to Numbers 33 and 38. Now, I did some research on this, and I found this very interesting. Moses and Aaron went up to the top of this mount, and it's a very high mount. It's one of the highest mounts in the area. It was in Jordan. As they got to the top of the mount, it says that the earth opened up. And when the earth opened up, there was a cave there. And the cave had a bed in it, and there were some angels around it. It was at this time when Moses told Aaron, "Take off your robe, your priest robe, put it on your son Eleazar," which signified the transference of power, the power that Aaron had as a high priest, that he transferred this to his son Eleazar. It became his responsibility. History tells us, or legacy tells us, that after he took the robe off, that he walked in to the area that was prepared. He laid down and he very quietly died. That the cave folded up then on top of Aaron, and that he went on with the angels. And yes, Brian, they did build a shrine right on top of this mountain. So that his area has still, there was a mosque of some time that was built to signify this as a special place. His influence in Israel was strong, and the people loved him. The people cared for him, and they respected him. Some 40 days, the people mourned the death of their leader, Aaron. He was a good man. He was an devout man. He was a religious man. He was a smart man. He was a good organizer. He was a good talker. He was a good negotiator. And it was evidenced when he died because he was mourned by the people. But as good as he was, he had some weaknesses. And he had some very tragic weaknesses and some very visible weaknesses. He was a historical figure in Israeli history, but he made some very serious mistakes. We're going to look at three of those tonight. And I think that it's sad, really, when you look at the life of a man that lived 123 years. But yet, when we think about Aaron today, we remember him by one mistake that he made. But that's exactly the way it worked with Aaron. There were three significant events, and it reveals a tendency that we see in Aaron that we see in our world today, every day that we live. Because the weaknesses that were in Aaron, and the weaknesses that brought Aaron down, and the weaknesses that caused him to stumble, are weaknesses that caused his humanity, which includes 100% of human beings, it causes us the same problems that it caused Aaron. These weaknesses, these tendencies, are in our world today, and that's why we're talking about Aaron tonight, to realize that even though he was a good man, and even though there were good things that he did, it was the tendencies and the weaknesses that brought him down. The defining memory of Aaron was the gold calf incident, which occurred in Exodus 3. And the mistake that Aaron made in the gold calf is that he followed the majority of the people. You know, Jesus spoke, when he spoke in Matthew, he speaks of that wide, wide path that everybody is on, that is so easy to walk on. And then he speaks of this little narrow, winding path that he wants his people to follow, because the wide path is easy to follow. The majority of the people are on the wide path. And that was one of the weaknesses that Aaron has, is that he allowed the majority of the people to influence him and to direct him into ways that he knew he should not go. The mistake of following the majority. When Moses ascended onto Mount Sinai to receive the commandments of God, he was gone some 40 days. When he left, he put Aaron and Hur in charge. Hur, by the way, was the son of Caleb, who was married to Aaron and Moses' sister Miriam. So Hur was in fact the nephew of Aaron and Moses. So he left Aaron, his brother, in charge with Hur, his nephew, and they were the ones that were in charge of the Israelites. After Moses had been gone 40 days, before he had been gone 40 days, the Jews began to murmur, and they began to complain, and they begin to bellyache, and they begin to gripe. Moses is dead. Moses is dead. He's gone. He's not coming back. He's ran off. He has abandoned us. He's left us here in this wilderness. We're going to die. We're going to perish. And they continually assailed old Aaron and Hur with these words until it became an act of desperation. Make us a God that can deliver us from the wilderness and the predicament that we are in. And because of the pushing of the multitude, even though Aaron realized that this was not right, he told them to bring all of their jewelry to him, their gold, their silver. He put it in a pot. He heated the pot. He melted, caused the gold to mold, and he made a liquid out of it. And then from this liquid, he fashioned a calf. I also looked this up. I didn't understand why it was a calf that he would make as a god for the children of Israel to worship. The Hittites, which were a group of the pagan people, the heathen people in this area, held the cattle in a very high position. A bull was thought to be a superior animal, and they worshipped some to the bull. Some of these other pagan religions also held a bovine, a cow, or a bull in high esteem. We know that the Indians today hold cows in a very sacred position. I wondered why it was a bull or a calf that they molded, but obviously it was because of the people around them in the wilderness they had encountered, and the calf was a symbol of religious superiority. It was something that they worshiped. Anyway, he molded a golden calf out of this jewelry that he melted down. When Moses came down right after that 40th day from the mountain and saw the dancing and the celebrations and realized what the children were doing with this molten calf, he literally became just, he was extremely angry. And he confronted Aaron, and it was not a pretty scene. And Aaron immediately began to make excuses, two of the most absurd, ridiculous excuses that could be. Aaron at first said, these people pressured me into this. They forced me into this. I had no choice. I had to make this calf because the people were against me. They forced me to do it. Well, that excuse didn't hold water. So the next excuse that he gave was, I put this gold in this pot. I melted it. And out of this pot comes this golden calf. So we began to worship it. There was no way to rationalize what he had done. He made a grievous error. It was a great sin. He had created a god out of gold to place before these Israelites, and Moses explained to him pretty well what he had done. And this incident defines Aaron even to this day. You know, it's a shame when an individual spends a lifetime doing well and doing good and trying to make a reputation and a name for himself, and then on one little circumstance allows his guard down long enough that he does something as silly as this, and this becomes the defining moment of a man's life. But that's exactly what happened to Aaron, because when we think of him today, we think of the golden calf and the tragic mistake that he made. He let the public, he let the majority overrule what he knew was to be right. He also had some pride. And pride caused the next mistake that he made, and this again was another very serious mistake. This time it really wasn't Aaron's fault either, because Aaron did not initiate this, but his sister Miriam initiated the problem that was to happen next. And Aaron didn't say no, and Aaron didn't stop her, and Aaron went along with her. Now, there was one, they gave a specific reason as to what they were doing here, but really the reason that they gave was secondary to the problem that they had. The problem that they had, Miriam and Aaron, was that Moses was the leader, and Moses was getting the attention, and Moses was the big man, and they were taking a position that was subservient to Moses. They were jealous of him, and God didn't like it. He didn't like it at all. But the reason they gave for this, they picked on the wife of Moses, who was a Cushite, who was from Ethiopia, who was a black-skinned woman, and they began to ridicule, and they began to mock, and they began to scorn. They took this woman into contempt, and they began to say bad things because of the wife of Moses, because she was from Ethiopia. She was not an Israelite like the rest of them. And God didn't like that either. He didn't like it at all. The act of jealousy enraged God to the point that he caused leprosy to defile Miriam. What I read was that she immediately turned chalk white from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Immediate leprosy. And they say that Miriam got this problem instead of Aaron, because Miriam is the one that introduced this problem and initiated this problem, and Aaron simply didn't stop her and went along with her. Moses was very upset, and God was even more upset. But Moses immediately began to pray to God. He began to pray that God would spare his sister, that he would heal her from this terrible disease. And of course, she was quarantined. She was taken out of the camp, and she was placed in a quarantined area because lepers didn't stay in the camp with everyone else. But Moses begged God, and finally after 7 days, God allowed Miriam to be healed. It was a terrible thing that Aaron did. He could have stopped this. But it was because of jealousy that they had toward Moses that Miriam and Aaron ganged up together, picking on the wife of Moses, and God didn't appreciate it at all. Right? There's another lesson to learn here too. When a man takes his wife, that wife is his business. It's not ours. It's It's not my business who another man marries. That is the decision of the man that marries. God didn't appreciate the way they treated the Cushite woman. They didn't appreciate the jealousy they had toward Aaron. And this could have been even more serious for Miriam. She could have gone more than 7 days with this terrible thing of leprosy. But anyway, Moses begged, God relented, Miriam was restored. Another tragic thing that Aaron did that marks this otherwise very good man. There was a third one. We know that he's been pressured by the majority of people and he didn't stand up. We know that he was prideful and because of his pride that he fell down. But he had another problem. The other problem he had was anger. He was a man that let anger take over. In Numbers 20, we find the Israelites are wandering in the wilderness. They're just about to the promised land. This 40 years is just about over. Jordan is right there in the Jordan River, and they're just about to go over. But there's no water. There's a water shortage, and the people are thirsty. And again, they begin to complain, and they begin to murmur. And they begin to talk to these people and say terrible things. And Moses and Aaron always took the brunt of all of these arguments and all of these problems. And they became very frustrated. Anyway, God said, if you will go to this rock in Meribah, and you will speak to this rock, I will let water come out of the rock so that the people may have their thirst quenched. So when they get to the rock with the murmuring and the complaining and the griping of the Israelites, in total frustration and desperation, Moses and Aaron begin to beat the rock, commanding that water come out of this rock. And water did, and the people were satisfied. But God was not, because God told them to speak to the rock, and that he then would allow water to come out so that God might receive the glory of this miracle. But instead, out of desperation and anger, they whipped this rock. And God said, you will not enter into the promised land because of your disobedience. Not only you, Aaron, but you as well, Moses, because of your disobedience and because of your anger. People, these same characteristics and these traits are just as alive in our world today. I think that they probably consume 100% of humanity. We all have these problems. We all fight these characteristics. We could all be destroyed by these things, even as Aaron was, because we see these same traits in our world today. These were three tragic mistakes that Aaron made. And they were mistakes that could have been worse. And people died because of the golden calf. People died because of some of the things that was done. It was a very serious thing. Aaron had some weaknesses, but he also had some good points that we need to consider. He had some virtues, and we need to talk about a few of the virtues as we look about this man so that we can understand that there were two sides to Aaron. He was with Moses with his skills of negotiation and skills of talk. When Moses said, God, I can't do this. I'm not capable of going before Pharaoh. I'm not capable to talk to Pharaoh. I'm too slow of speech. I can't do this. God said, I will give you Aaron. And Aaron was loyal. For some 40 years, he walked into the court of Pharaoh. And for some 40 years, he was side by side with Moses as they went through the wilderness. He was a good, loyal partnership with Moses as they took the Israelites through the wilderness. He stood by Moses when they faced the Pharaoh, performing miracles with his rod, when the rod became a serpent, and when he took the rod up. When he took the rod and he cast the plagues upon the Pharaoh and upon the Egyptian people. It was Aaron that did this, he and Moses, as they stood together. He was with Moses. As the children of Israel went in the wilderness, they ran up against the Amalekites, and there was a great war. And Moses was holding his arms up, and as long as the arms of Moses were up, the children of Israel were winning the battle with the Amalekites. But because of fatigue, his arms fell down. When his arms fell down, the Amalekites overcame the Israelites. So it was a nephew Hur that stood on one side and held up this arm of Moses. And it was Aaron that stood on the other side and held up the arm of Moses. And together, Hur and Aaron were right there with Moses, keeping his hands extended until the battle was over and the Israelites had won. Loyalty to his brother. He daily assisted Moses in leading Israel in these 40 years, and that was a tough, thankless job because none of the Israelites appreciated what was being done. And they murmured and they complained on a daily basis. And I can almost understand a portion of the frustration that these two men felt. He remained loyal to Moses when the Israelites, under Korah and 250 of his followers, began to rebel against Moses to take away his authority. It was Aaron and Moses that stood against this group of men that were trying to destroy and take them over until the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and all of his followers and then closed up around them. He provided the leadership in the religious life of the nation. He created the office of the priesthood. He created the Levitical priesthood. He set up the rules and the precepts that guided the children of Israel. He was organizational in the things that he set up. And he created a priesthood that lasted until Jesus came and the new law came into effect. He was a good man. He made a lot of silly mistakes. But he did a lot of things right. And that's why we study these old people. That's why we study these old characters. That's why we understand what they did that was right and why we study what they did that was wrong, so that we can learn from their actions. And the actions are evident, and there are actions that we can consider because there are actions today that apply to us in 2017 as human beings. Number one, Aaron's human. He was just as human as we are. He had his good points, but he also had his bad points. He had his strengths, but he also had his weaknesses. And some of his weaknesses were glaring. One moment of weakness caused him a reputation that he was never able to overcome. Number two thing we can learn, though, is that God still loved Aaron. And God made him a high man and a good man in a position of honor, one of his saints according to Psalm. Because God forgave Aaron for the things that he did. He realized he had made mistakes and he repented of it. And because of the penitent nature of Aaron, God forgave him and held him in high esteem. But I think that probably one of the most important things that we can learn from this is that we cannot get through this life by ourselves. We need God. We cannot successfully live without Him. We cannot successfully avoid the temptations and the opponents and the murmuring and the complaining that these men endured for 40 years unless we've got someone to stand there with us. I want to leave you with one more thought, and this is directly from 2017. If you've been following the news for the last couple of months, it seems that in our country it has become a witch hunt where women that have been setting aside for 20 and 30 and 40 years are now all of a sudden remembering these sexual advances that men made against them 20, 30, and 40 years ago. And they are bringing everything out. Now, I'm not standing up for these men. They're probably just as guilty as they can be. We know that there is some amount of guilt for an accusation. I hope that these women are pure and innocent and didn't have any part of this. Because a single incident like this can ruin an individual that has spent his entire life trying to do right. And then one mistake can condemn him and bring him down. That's what happened to Aaron. It can happen to people today. We can learn from the mistakes and the things that happened in the life of Aaron. So concludes what I've had to say. I hope there's something to it. We now at this time would like to offer a song of invitation. If there's anyone we can help, we ask you to come forward as we sing.